are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, August the 28th. And it sounds like basketball is going to return this weekend. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Thanks for staying with us throughout the pandemic and spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, we got Fridays with Brian once again, as we're going to chop it up here as the, the shutdown, the second shutdown might be ending this weekend. Kind of hard to articulate exactly what's going on, but give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But now we bring in my older brother, Brian. Brian, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. How are you doing today, Matt?
Yeah, that's right. And so we're taping this middle of the evening here on Thursday. And as we're talking, we don't still know exactly what the status of the NBA season is. The reports earlier today, Thursday, that the season would continue. Now the question is, will they play basketball on Friday? It sounds like from the reporting that Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com is doing is that the games will be Saturday and Sunday. So we're talking about the Thursday games coming up, the games that were originally scheduled for Wednesday possibly being played on Saturday, and then the Thursday games possibly being played on Sunday. So that's where we're at there. But of course, we had the Milwaukee Bucks protest on Wednesday, all sorts of takes out there, and a lot of them, you know, it's tough. Like Brian and I were talking before we started recording, as guys, you know, white dudes who grew up in the suburbs and are 40s or late 30s, depending on who we are. So, Brian, the floor is yours to kind of give us your thoughts on the last 36, 48 hours of the NBA.
It's really hard to articulate that we're being engaged and want to be as part of the process as we're allowed to be, but having no frame of reference or perspective to the experience of minorities or people of color in this country makes it really difficult to fully be sympathetic, while we can choose to be more empathetic, as to say that obviously there's some sort of a break or a fracture in the relationship between minorities and people of color and institutional law enforcement. I think that much has got to be obvious to everybody. Mm-hmm. As to how we move forward is up to debate, but I have to defer to the people who have gone through these experiences firsthand, who have sacrificed so much for a country that doesn't seem to give them the same love back that they're putting in. And I can't imagine what that must feel like. So I kind of take what seems to be like the safe road, and I don't mean it to be that way. But again, I think right now, it just for somebody in my demographic, we should probably just do a lot of listening here. Speak up when our support is needed. But I think the streets and the people who are organizing this, what's going on right now, are doing a marvelous job. Mm-hmm. It's different. It feels different. And we've had in my lifetime dozens of incidents, unfortunately, that haven't had the same impact for whatever reason. And maybe it's unfortunately because of the series of them that seems to have been happening over the last couple months that this hasn't really lost momentum, this movement. But I applaud the people who have kept the movement moving forward. And I continue to kind of be amazed at the type of change that can be brought upon by a collective feeling of we have to do better as a community, as a country, as a people. And I think that that's being expressed as articulately as I've ever seen that is expressed right now.
That's well said. And maybe what wasn't as well said was the episode I put up earlier, and I was kind of rushing through after the news of that the league was coming back. I haven't listened back to it yet, but there's some people out there that sometimes criticize protests and say that maybe they should have done this better or this better. And maybe, and I don't know if I came off flippant when I was talking about, well, maybe the Bucks actually would have preferred to take the forfeit and lose game five to kind of spur some change and really take some consequences for their actions. I didn't mean it. If anyone took that and listened to that from Thursday's episode and thought that I was critiquing how people are protesting and saying that I know better than someone else, that's not what I meant. And I'm probably over apologizing now at this point, but just wanted to kind of throw that out there too. But as we kind of record, about a half hour before we hit the record button here, Mark Spears of ESPN.com says the National Basketball Players Association and NBA could be putting out a joint statement tonight, so late night Thursday, following the conference call between the union and owners. They could be announcing a direct action plan that includes a push for police accountability, voter registration, and support for the George Floyd bill. So, you know, obviously a large amount of courage taken by the Milwaukee Bucks and subsequently the rest of the NBA players, and now some direct result that could come out of their activism. So nice to see, and hopefully things keep moving in that kind of direction as things go forward here. But it's a strange couple days here for the NBA, and tough to find the right words. And strange times. But hopefully, I don't say this, and that hopefully we return to basketball, because this is important stuff. And I know I'm tripping over my words as we try to say all the right things on these kind of podcasts and these kind of platforms. But any final thoughts before we kind of close the book and talk about more hoops, Brian?
Well, if it's flippant you're looking for, this does give a decided advantage to the Dallas Mavericks and Houston Rockets, who have ailing superstars. They get an extra day or extra couple days of rest when you do see the action start coming back on the court, and see if that helps them strategically. You know, obviously that wasn't part of the strategy for any of this, but, you know, unintended consequences or benefits are going to happen from something like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk more about what to expect this weekend on the court, assuming that basketball is back. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, all right, you know, we got to tell you guys about rockauto.com. This is a website that I promise you're going to find something for, even if you don't think you are in the market for car parts. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, it's those prices at rockauto.com. They are always reliably low, and the same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Yes!
All right, a little bit later on, we're going to put Brother Brian in the crosshairs on who he thinks the Pistons should draft. Of course, it's the hot topic these days, and we're looking for your top seven for the big board for listeners on the Reddit page, the Reddit subject that I started. Also, you can get at me at Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. And we got about 40 responses already, so all sorts of people giving me their top seven. Include Ball and Edwards. That's what big boards are. Have those guys all there, just like you're in the war room, put your list together of seven that you would submit to Troy Weaver for the Pistons Select. We'll talk about that next week as the draft preparation continues. But Brian, before the draft, obviously we got a lot of basketball to talk about, and the assumption is that we'll get going on Saturday. Obviously Milwaukee was about to take the floor, and they actually did not take the floor against the hometown Orlando Magic. Aaron Gordon left the bubble, so it sounds like he's called it a season. So I think those guys are ready for the golf course in Orlando.
Yeah, it seems like the East is going to be wrapped up here pretty quickly as soon as they do eventually get that game underway. So the Eastern Conference, going on to the next day, has the game one of that Boston-Toronto series, and that's an intriguing one that I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, it's chalk in the first round for the Eastern Conference, as we kind of all expected. Obviously, the way that Miami handled business against Indiana was maybe a little bit unexpected, but the carnage that one kind of brought. But like you said, the intrigue is out west right now, as we figured it would be. And two series kind of stick out maybe a little bit more, as we expect the Lakers to handle business. Damian Lillard is gone out of the bubble as well. So sounds like the Trailblazers are ready to call it a season, although a memorable, nice little spot in the bubble for them. But Houston, OKC, and still obviously Dallas and the Clippers, and then Denver looking a little spunky as well against Utah. So all four of those series still going. But like you said, Houston, OKC at 2-2 is kind of the one that's grabbing the spotlight now at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising. And, you know, we're going to have to see Russell Westbrook get back sooner rather than later, as it was looking after the first two games. So whenever they can get him back, it won't be too soon.
Yeah, absolutely. So that one, OKC storming back to get two in a row, and we'll see how Houston responds. Obviously, that's one that maybe a week ago we said was looking towards possibly a sweep, or maybe a five-game gentleman sweep. But then we get to Dallas and the Clippers. Again, we don't know exactly when these games are going to be played. This is probably going to be a Sunday game now, and you'd think they might stick it at the 3:30, just like Luka Doncic's overtime game winner last week at the 3:30 ABC spot. So, yeah, I mean, Luka gets a little bit of time to recover. The bad blood seems like it's continuing in that series. What do you think about Dallas and the Clips?
Well, I was feeling really good about Dallas two games ago, but the Clippers really did put it on them last game. It'd be interesting to see if Kristaps comes back or if Luka's got anything left in the tank to try to do it himself and force that game seven. But the Clippers looked really good in that last game, and Paul George finally woke up.
Yeah, the Clippers, they just have more talent from top to bottom. And like you said, after a couple of rough games, Paul George comes back. So, you know, I would expect that L.A., and maybe that goes seven. It would be nice to see at least one of these series go seven here in the first round. But Jamal Murray for the Denver Nuggets, the team maybe left for dead by some. Maybe this podcaster thought that would be over in five. But Jamal Murray and the Denver Nuggets responding. And then Utah and Donovan Mitchell having a great playoff series so far for him. And then like we talked about, the Lakers probably moving on to round two as well. Anything surprise you about Utah, Denver, or the Lakers, about things that you kind of learned about these teams during this first round?
Well, what surprised me is how much of a winner Donovan Mitchell is. I think took that next step forward as to kind of that killer mentality. I mean, we'll see if he can close this series out against a very talented and the third seed Denver. But the way he is able to just take over games isn't something you see a lot in this league. And I think we all knew he was a good player, but he's starting his, along with Luka Doncic, starting some playoff lore early in his career. And you always want to get started that way early in your career, so you never find yourself having to shake some kind of a monkey off your back later in your career as you're trying to get a reputation for not being able to get it done in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think I'll take an L on Donovan Mitchell a little bit. You and I were talking off of camera sometime in these last few weeks about hoops, and I kind of detailed to you my opinion that, of course, Donovan Mitchell is a very good player. We knew that before these last couple weeks, but I was thinking, you know, they're going to have to give him a max contract right now, and I just kind of wondered out loud, like, where are you going if Donovan Mitchell is your best player? And again, I don't think the Utah Jazz are going to win the NBA championship this year, but, you know, get him a better number two. If Bogdanovich was healthy and playing right now in this postseason, how different could this Utah team look? And you know, maybe you're not as screwed as I thought, especially if you got, you know, a perennial defensive player of the year candidate in Rudy Gobert. I know they got decisions coming up with him in the near term future as well, but, you know, this Utah team, certainly no reason to shake things up, and Donovan Mitchell looks like a guy who's going to be a number one for very good teams for a long time. And, of course, Pistons fans probably don't want to hear that.
Well, yeah, if you were on the fence before this series about Donovan Mitchell, and again, I know this is still up in the air as to who's going to win it, but his performance so far has dictated that you know, are firmly on the side of feeling a lot more comfortable about offering Donovan Mitchell, you know, backing up the Brinks truck for him, as it were, a lot better. You feel a lot better about that this week than maybe a month ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, and like you said, we touched on it real quick, but round two, you got Milwaukee, assuming they take care of business against Orlando, going against Miami, and then Boston and Toronto as well. I mean, we got a couple of really interesting series in round two in the East to look forward to.
That Miami team, I wouldn't have thought it before this playoffs, but watching a couple of their games and seeing how many different ways they can score, it'll be interesting to see if Giannis and, you know, hopefully Chris Middleton maybe gets a little more consistent here in the second round for Giannis's sake. But that Miami team, they're a feisty bunch, and it'll be interesting to see if they can snag a win maybe two against Milwaukee that series.
And as trite as it sounds, we talked about how it's flippant to even talk about basketball to some respect at all in an NBA podcast right now just because of everything that's going on. But I wonder about the emotional situation that the Bucks are going through. I mean, obviously this was something that happened near the city of Milwaukee, so there's that part of it to begin with. But then this emotional discussion that you have literally in the locker room before a game on Wednesday – I think that you become a little bit of a darling in some ways. Maybe some fans who are on the fence about you start rooting for you a little bit more, as we know that NBA fans, by and large, are going to agree with the stance that they took. So be interesting to see how the narrative goes, because, of course, LeBron James out West is the most beloved and famous player in the NBA. But maybe the Bucks will kind of rise up those charts a little bit and become kind of a little bit of a media darling themselves. Is, you know, I've always kind of believed, and the Clippers obviously are there as well, and there's four teams out East that are no slouches right now heading to the second round. But is Giannis and the Lakers kind of heading in a crash course towards the NBA Finals, and how interesting that would be to have the reigning two-time MVP against the guy who has the conch right now as the king of the NBA in LeBron James. We'll see if that ever happens, but do you think that, you know, the events of the last couple of days have an impact materially on the Milwaukee Bucks going forward?
How could it not, I guess, would be my answer to that. You've done something unprecedented in pro sports. I think we had to go back to the 60s to, you know, talk about when the Celtics maybe did something like this in a preseason game. So doing something that's comes from such an emotionally charged and chaotic place, and doing something unprecedented and having the world media, not just the sports media, these were lead stories on national news programs. So that the camera light you've invited upon yourself, the emotion, that's got to run a toll, if not physically, then certainly mentally and emotionally.
All right, and you've heard me talk about the draft plenty, but up next we're going to put Brian on the spot. He's got a couple of names of prospects that he's looked at that have stood out to him in his early draft preparation. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But hey, got to tell you guys about Built Bar. You know, I've been telling you guys for months now, really, about how this is the best protein bar, best tasting protein bar ever. I start my day with Built Bar, whether you put them in the fridge, whether you keep them out. Good times all around, good for the pre-workout, good for the post-workout as well. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious now. Six new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Throw those together with the 12 original flavors from before. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. They're healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy. Lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They got low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. Those are all the macros that you're looking for. And they've reset the promo code. So if you bought some before, you were smart enough to use the Locked On promo code, you can use it yet again. And also, while supplies last, a free cooler Built Bar with purchase. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code Locked On for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, once again, a reminder to send us, go to the Reddit topic that I set up, or reach out to me on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. If you're not on either of those mediums, go ahead and send it to me an email, @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com. We're looking for your top seven big board. The Pistons are picking seventh as determined by the draft lottery last week. So who do you want? Give me all seven. Shoot for the stars. Put every single, you know, don't say, well, Ball and Edwards aren't going to be in there, so let's give your next seven. No, include all of them. And who knows? Maybe an Anthony Edwards somehow slips all the way down. James Wiseman is a candidate to maybe fall in the draft. He could be number two. You know, you never really know with some of these guys, especially in a strange draft. And the other thing is that front offices across the league have had all sorts of time, especially delete eight type of teams. The Pistons, you bring in a new front office. Troy Weaver did his due diligence all last season with the Oklahoma City Thunder, comes in with a whole new front office and guys that have their own ideas, new guys that might be coming in too. So everyone's watched all these guys over and over again. You've heard my thoughts every week, at least for the last several weeks. And Brian, kind of new to our content here at Locked On Pistons, and you've been watching a couple of these guys. Who's stood out to you as you've begun draft preparations for whenever the draft might be?
Well, having listened to a lot of what you've talked about with the drafts, I've really had a chance to learn about this class coming up. And then doing a little bit of research and watching some video on my own, I have two guys that I would be exceedingly happy with leaving draft night with, whenever that may be. That's not to say that there aren't other options that I'd still be happy with, but there's two guys that for different reasons just kind of hop off the screen to me, or hop off the paper is a good selection. Mm-hmm. And the first, and it's not earth-shattering or groundbreaking, but Killian Hayes. He seems to be the safest pick. He's got the size, he's got the build, but he's also, you know, got the relationship with Sekou, which I think is important if there's a player that you're confident to make the cornerstone right now, bringing in somebody who already has a relationship with, somebody who he shares more of a cultural background with, that he can maybe be comfortable and help both of their developments, you know, together as, you know, friends. It sounds like they have a very friendly relationship, and also socially, being in a new city, at least they have somebody that they already feel comfortable with together. And I think that would be a good nod to Sekou that you're placing his development and his comfort and giving him every chance to succeed. And I think that's a great message to send a young player.
It's like taking a left tackle when you got a quarterback who's a rookie or something like that. You protect your guy that you're building around in some ways.
Absolutely. And I think if the front office is confident in Sekou, and we don't know if they are, they weren't the ones that selected him, but if they feel the same way the previous regime felt about Sekou, then we should, the previous hierarchy anyway does, that I think that it would be a great pick for him.
Yeah, and I think that Pistons Nation, Pistons Twitter, at least the draft board, and we'll reveal kind of the results of everyone's top seven at some point here in the future. But other than the Ball, Edwards, Wiseman, which are kind of the 1, 2, and 3, not that they're certainly going to go 1, 2, and 3 in the draft. And like I said, Wiseman could certainly fall. But it seems like of those next tier of guys, as I kind of talk about, I think that you throw like Okongwu and Halliburton and Hayes and possibly Isaac Okoro and maybe Denny Avdija. I don't know if Devin Vassell is quite in that core, but that maybe the expected group of those five guys will be, you know, five of the next seven picks or something like that. But still, the Pistons probably will have a chance to select between 1, 2, 3, possibly even 4 of those guys going forward, and Killian Hayes might be one of them. And it's a guy that Pistons fans have been excited about for over a half a year. But the other guy that you have brought up to me is someone who is a little bit more of a dark horse.
And I know you touched on him yesterday a little bit, but Kira Lewis Jr. out of Alabama has just jumped off the screen at me as to his quickness and his playmaking ability and his ability to create space. Just not something you normally see. And he's only 19, having reclassified in high school, even though he's been there for 2 years, he's only 19 years old right now. The size could use a little help. I'm talking about he is 6'3", so that's a little small, and his frame is a little small as well. So the deficiencies that I see in his game, and there are a few, that's why he's slotted a little bit lower than some of the other guys that you talked about, has to do with his size. And I think that if he's able to add some bulk to his frame, and I think he should be able to, he's really slender right now, that, you know, he'll be able to not shy away from contact as much, or maybe get himself in such of a, you know, twisted ways that he has makes bad passes or makes bad decisions with shot selection. So I see a lot of De'Aaron Fox in him, is somebody that I like. And actually, if he can get some stronger and finish at the rim, I see glimpses. And I'm not putting the same type, but kind of a Russ Westbrook kind of finisher at the rim if he can add a little bit more aggressiveness.
Yeah, and you talk about his size. You know, one of the things that with Killian Hayes and Tyrese Haliburton as possible lead ball handlers that are 6'5", 6'6", and Kira Lewis being a little bit smaller. I mean, he's not 6 feet tall, so he's not a short guy. But, it could help that – you know, some of the younger point guards throughout the league, thinking about Trae Young, thinking about Colin Sexton and Darius Garland in Cleveland, thinking about Coby White in Chicago, a couple of the guys that are in the conference or the division that you're going to see multiple times per year. Maybe that size, the fact that he's not 6'6", doesn't get exploited as much. And like you said, if he's got the quickness and the physical tools with speed, maybe that makes up for some of that that size deficiency as well. And we know from watching the Pistons these last few years and having just guys on the perimeter blow by Pistons defenders time after time, I think that it would be nice to have that shoe on the other foot for once. But Kira Lewis, something I didn't mention on Thursday's show, 36% three-point shooter in 2 years and right at that number basically for both years. So it wasn't like he improved a lot, and it wasn't like he's inconsistent with it. I mean, he's a guy who 36.2% on 304 attempts over two seasons. So pretty consistent in that way. With the closer college shot, you'd like to have top prospects at about 40%, but certainly nothing to sneeze at for 36% there, and shows that it's something that could be a weapon for him in a shooting world that we know that you almost have to have as a perimeter player these days. But that'll do it for us. Like I said, Mock Draft Monday coming up on Monday, and all the basketball to break down over the weekend as well. Thanks again to Brother Brian for coming on Fridays with Brian, as he always does. And that should do it for us. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.